Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Ready or not, summer has officially begun. Welcome, everybody, to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean. After a rainy and flowery spring, depending on where you live, summer is underway, and people of all ages are staring down a new season. For the kids, summer usually means no school, and instead, day camps or sleepaway camps, sand castles, and long sunny days. For grown-ups, summer brings on many mixed feelings. On one hand, there's baseball, patio parties, floppy summer hats, summer beach reads, blockbuster movies, and getaway vacations. On the other hand, there are summer allergies, mosquitoes, heat waves, and the pressure of keeping the kids entertained and busy during all of those long, free-form summer days. Like every season of the year, summer, it's a mixed bag, don't you think? If you're a parent of at least one child, you know all too well that this time of year is when families are experiencing that shift from your kids going to school most of the day to school's out. Now what? Well, my first guest, Hannah Jenny Weisberg, has some great insights about this conundrum. She is the founder of the immensely popular website, JewishMom.com, and she's ready to tell it like it is about the parents' perspective of summer vacation with our active and lively children. We can do this. And with summer, especially now that we're deep into June, a month which many Americans associate with weddings, we're going to take a fresh look at that old institution of marriage. Well, internationally renowned relationship coach Hannah Levitan wrote the bestsellers, I Only Want to Get Married Once, and So That's Why I Married You, because she is passionate about marriage. She'll tell us all about how a husband and wife, with their inevitable personality differences, can discover the ways they actually complete each other. Helping complete today's show is Chef Ahuva Stam, who runs Wish It Dish It Catering in Jerusalem, Israel, and she has many clever ways to serve up beautiful summer fruits in salads and desserts, and the links to her recipes are available on my host page on the Israel News Talk Radio website, or you can check them out on Ahuva's website, widdycatering.com. After a short break, it's what every mom is gearing up for, an endless summer with our little darlings. And we have Hannah Jenny Weisberg to help us keep a cool head. More in a moment.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this? And it's happening now. I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Dean, and I'm speaking with Hannah Jenny Weisberg. She is the creator of JewishMom.com, a popular website which provides daily doses of inspiration and encouragement. In addition to her articles and videos on the website, Hannah Jenny is the author of two popular books, Expecting Miracles and One Baby Step at a Time. Hannah Jenny was my very first guest nearly 1 year ago here at Israel News Talk Radio, and it's such a pleasure to have her back in the studio, this time to talk about the start of summer vacation. Welcome back, Hannah Jenny Weisberg.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So one of the things that, mothers and others everywhere is when it's this time of year, this is where we move from that year-round routine schedule to our open-ended schedule. Does the thought of this stress you out, or am I the only one?
Yeah. I know for me, I'm a routine person. So for me, anytime routine ends, then it's very hard for me. It's really a challenge. And for me, it's been a challenge. One of the biggest challenges for me, I think, over the years, I've been a mother for 19 years. I think it's been getting used to breaks in routine, vacations. And I guess most of all, I guess summer vacation is the biggest break in routine.
Right. Because there, the schedule can, it's really free form. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you expect that this is how the morning goes. But you know what it is? The routine, even within the routine, as comfortable as it feels, there are still emergencies and urgencies that crop up even during that routine. Like, I have to break my routine because this one needs to go to the doctor. Or I have to break my routine because this one, for whatever reason, has to run to the store. This, because the shoes just fell apart. Whatever, for whatever it is. But now it's really, really a break. So, do you have any advice how to adjust to that new normal?
I think, like, I mean, something for me, like the biggest thing for me over the years, like the biggest, I guess, a coping tool over the years, has just been a change in attitude. Kind of thinking to myself, okay, my, you know, I might have many different things that I have to do. But I have my website, I have various projects I'm doing. But right now, you know, it's the summer, and and my goal, my number one goal, is to be there for the kids.
Yeah.
And it's not like, let's say, my kid, like, let's say I have a daughter who goes to school every day until, and she comes home at 4:00, but in the summer, she's going to be coming home at 1:30, you know, camp ends in July at 1:30.
Right, right.
So it's, and, but that's my, I'm a mother and this is what I'm doing. And that's my number one priority is doing that, is being flexible and kind of, recalibrating, you know, GPS style, recalibrating my priorities. But I think at the same time, something very important for me is that I really, really try to set aside that every day I have at least a certain amount of time to myself.
Right.
For me, it has to. I need at least 2 hours. Let's say.
Okay.
Otherwise, I really can't be there for everyone else who needs me.
Right.
So in July, there's camps. I don't know how it is abroad, outside of Israel. But in Israel, in August, camps become more complicated.
Right.
So there pretty much are camps in July for the children. In August, less so.
Right. In August, I think this is because, especially for boys, right? Boys' schools extend further into the summer than most girls' school.
Right, right.
And then, but everyone's off for August.
Right.
And that includes a lot of services in Israel. But when we talk about camps, so yes, I understand it's it is complicated.
So in August, you know, I don't even have the camps left. So as a routine person, what do I do? So I really, really try to make sure that every day I have at least 2 or 3 hours to myself to get some exercise, to work on my blog a little bit.
And you love to read.
I love to read. To do something for myself, to do kind of be on my own, for 2 to 3 hours a day. So I have older children, so it could be, you know, recruiting the older children, or for someone else, finding a babysitter, or finding the backyard camp, you know, which is possibly still going around. But I think that has to be balanced with a kind of change in perspective and a change in expectations.
Right. That's the biggie is adjusting to your new normal. So what is your opinion of day camps in Israel? They're called ketanot, day camps. These are often, nothing scholastic is involved. There might be a little bit about learning about Jewish spirituality, but a lot of it is arts and crafts and ketanot, day camps. A lot of it is for elementary school age children.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I mean, I've seen better and I've seen worse, but I think that I think it's a great thing. And there's an amazing new thing in Israel that first, second, and third graders I have a first grader are now, they call it the 11th month, are going to get an extra free 3 weeks of basically camp into the first 3 weeks of July, and also in kindergartens and nursery schools, they're providing also an 11th month, which you have to pay for. But it's a great new service, and I'm really thrilled about that.
Right, a lot of the mothers at our school also. Okay, so then there's sleepaway camps. What that's called? Machanaim. Well, Machanaim is a brand of sleepaway camp, but I happened to have seen someone sent me a clip of an interview with Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow, and she said that she doesn't send her kids to sleepaway camp. Why? And she explained, "No, I like them." I like them. She's proudly saying, "I like my kids, so therefore I don't send them to sleepaway camp."
I see. I like my children very much. In fact, I love them very much. There's like a famous quote. It says there's a quote that says like no one ever loved their child so much that they weren't so happy to see them sleep. I forget who said it. It's like a famous author from like the 19th century or something. Mm-hmm. But I think every parent, no matter how much we love our children and we adore our children, we do everything for our children, but we also need time on our own. We need time to just be on our own and do our own things without having our children around. And I do see like there are mothers possibly who need that less. I personally am a mother, just speaking about myself. I really need that a great deal. I need a certain amount of time by myself.
Right. To recoup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Israel, there's not really an option so much of sleepaway camps.
Right.
But actually, this year for the first time, I have a daughter who's going to be working this summer at a sleepaway camp in America.
It
seems incredible.
She must be an incredible person because that's a very competitive job, actually.
Yeah, she's an amazing kid. Mm-hmm. But something that I've noticed from my husband teaches 18-year-old girls between high school and university. Mm-hmm. And these are girls who I see that they had such amazing experiences at their sleepaway camps and met Jewish kids from all over America and Canada. Mm-hmm. It was really an amazing formative experience for them.
Yes.
And I think, you know, in Israel we have youth group. Mm-hmm. And so for my children, you know, Israeli kids, they like youth group is so central to their lives. Like their best friends are in youth group. And I think for American Jewish kids, oftentimes the sleepaway camp experience is that for them.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very, very, I think I even once heard that like for Jewish kids, sometimes the Jewish educational experience of camp is even more formative and positive than the schools.
Well, I can see how my kids aren't in that situation yet, but with the youth groups, we have people who help us at home who high school graduates who would say, "Oh, the people from my youth group, they're still like lifelong friends and we're now going to each other's weddings and that sort of thing." You once said something, wrote something very freeing in an article that you did about that motherly guilt of in the summer seeing people pack up their cars and go on vacations, go on trips to beaches. And this is not for you, right? This is also not for me necessarily. I like the idea of giving the kids memories, but for the mothers, it's not a vacation day. It's really not a day off the way it is for the kids. So what, if you want to flesh that out, why do we feel like we're flunking summer vacation, the title of your article, because of that?
Yeah, I think that we put very, very high expectations on ourselves. To do all sorts of activities and outings with the kids. I think the truth is I know on that article, so an older mother of 8 kids and many, many grandchildren, she wrote back and she said, you know, when I had young kids at home, I would, you know, I'd buy arts and crafts projects and we would just spend and just have a calm afternoon at home, you know, and she said in an afternoon spent calmly at home, you know, and just that I had still had my energy by the end of the time. Right. She said that was a successful day.
Right.
And I think that we put a lot of expectations, like, am I being a good mother? Am I excelling as a mother? Am I creating memories for my kids? I think that we put a lot of stress on ourselves, more stress than necessary. I think that, you know, my kids, for example, we have like a very, very small, backyard pool. Like one of those plastic.
I loved those.
And the truth is, for me, it's no effort. And the truth is, my kids, my little kids, enjoy that just as much as they do enjoy me schlepping and and paying a lot of money to take them to an actual swimming pool or to the beach. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm not exhausted and worn out and fighting with everybody by the end of the day.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about summer in Israel?
What I love about summer, what I love is the feeling. It's a special thing, I think, in Israel, that there's a feeling of everyone being on vacation, especially in August. In Israel, like during the holidays, there's something called called Chol HaMoed, the intermediary days. Mm-hmm. And there's like a feeling like all the people on vacation and all the people walking around. And August is that feeling for me. I love there's all these festivals and all these people in the streets. Right. And I love that feeling. I love that.
Right. That's beautiful. I love that too. Yeah. We're all in this together, whether it's a Jewish holiday or whether it's time off. Yeah.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your thoughts and have a great summer, Chana Jenny.
Thank you. You too.
There's more coming up on the Modern Jewish Home Show, so stick around.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Welcome back to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Heather Dean, speaking with Chana Levitan, the best-selling author of I Only Want to Get Married Once, a must-read for singles, and also her second book, That's Why I Married You. It's a practical handbook for couples to learn how to not only live with personality differences, but to actually love those differences. And That's Why I Married You is packed with essential marriage advice and information and practical exercises and tips and charts. And marriage, Chana Levitan says, is the ultimate journey, and That's Why I Married You is the qualified manual for a successful journey. Welcome back, Chana Levitan. Thanks for taking the time to come by and talk about your favorite subject.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
I like your quote about Elizabeth Taylor on the subject of marriage.
Yeah, you know, she said in between her seventh and eighth marriages, she said, you know, the trouble isn't finding the man. Right? The trouble is wanting the man once you find him.
Right. Good words of advice for anybody, including the late Elizabeth Taylor. So, you know, finding, and then among the things we do in life, we're working on our relationships, but also people, married or not, we're just so busy with our jobs, looking for a job, volunteering for our favorite causes, and of course, family responsibilities. So I'm wondering how you overcome the objection of potential people that you're working with. Like, who has the time to pause and consider how we can thrive in our relationships?
You know, we don't have the time to pause. We make the time to pause. Mm-hmm. We make time for what we need, and that's where priorities come in. Now, the truth is, we don't need to spend an hour and a half every single day on our marriage. If we have 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour of quality time, and it could be 10 minutes at lunchtime, and 5 minutes right before dinner, and another 15 minutes before going to sleep. That is amazing. And sometimes it's only the 10 minutes or the 15 minutes, but if it's quality time, it can make all the difference.
A lot of times if couples are going about their day and only see each other at the end of the day. So I've heard from several sources, and I've seen that in my own parents' successful marriage, that if a couple sees each other basically at the end of the day, when we come home, let's have a snack first before the how was your day conversation.
Great. Yeah. No, again, it could be 5 or 10 minutes that are really quality. Now, hopefully on Shabbat or some other time, there is more time. Right? During the week, we get busy. It is important to have date night once a week, once every 2 weeks. It's important to have that time, that special time, that intimate time together. But it doesn't have to be every single day. And that's what we need to know. If we're putting in at least, I would say, I'm not going to say 5 minutes, but 10 to 15 minutes a day of quality time, just talking, looking into each other's eyes, caring, listening, fully listening, active, constant, really listening. And we have some time on Shabbat or sometimes wherever people are living on the weekend to really ignite that that reignite that spark, because, you know, marriage is like a garden. It really is. And if we don't water the garden, mm-hmm. it's going to dry up.
It's going to dry up.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we have to water it, but it doesn't have to be, again, an hour every single day or mm-hmm. 5 hours a day or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Now, when you say it's about dating your spouse or having that quality time, so I'm presuming, let's say that you set aside a regular time with your spouse. Are there certain things that are off limits? Like, is that not the time to talk about the electric bill or to talk about the landlord or to talk about the kids?
It depends on how much time you have. Okay. So if you're really dealing with 10 minutes of quality time, no talk about the kids. That's just focusing on each other. Okay. If you have a half hour a day, so then some of the time could be about the kids, about the bills, whatever it is. But there has to be the time where you sneak away. And, you know, if your kids are small, so you put them to sleep and you have that time. If they're a little bigger, so you tell them, we just had dinner. Mommy and Daddy are going to have these 15 minutes, or we're going to have a tea together.
Good.
And okay. they get to know, oh, Mommy, that kids love when Mommy and Dad are getting along. So mm-hmm. if you set this ritual where you're going to have this 10-minute tea break while they're playing, so then they can get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at each age, and obviously if they're teenagers, you know, all the more so there's that time, their free time.
Okay, very nice. Now, you have one of your philosophies or one of your core beliefs in your writings has to deal with the role of emotional security, trust, and intimacy. So I'm wondering if you could clearly delineate that for me, what follows what, so we can get into that.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I wrote the book, I Only Want to Get Married Once, and I travel a lot, and I speak often on university campuses, I'm often asked the question, you know, people say, you know, Chana, they call me Chana.
Okay.
Don't you think marriage is outdated? I mean, you know, that's a long time to stay together, a whole lifetime. People used to live shorter. Now maybe we should do the 10-year lease.
Okay.
And they're serious. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, seriously, if you lease a car for 10 years, are you going to take as good care of it as if you buy that car? No. And not only that, if you lease a car for 10 years, you're constantly looking over your shoulder at the new Honda or the new Toyota, or, you know, really leasing for a Lexus isn't that much more. So maybe I could save up for that. Constantly we're looking over our shoulder, right? Now, if we're doing that in marriage, right? He's looking over his shoulder. She's looking over her. Seriously? That, you can't build trust like that. Right? Now, the greatest basis for trust, now this is interesting if you think about it. The greatest basis for love is, and what we need is emotional intimacy.
Okay.
And intimacy is into me see.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
Right? And now the greatest basis for emotional intimacy is trust, right? Because we're not going to let someone see who we are if we don't trust them. And the greatest basis for trust mm-hmm. is, I have your back. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here no matter what. We're going to make it work. We're going to work this out. Mm-hmm. Marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the year 2017, yes, marriage is relevant, just as relevant, and maybe even more relevant, mm-hmm. because we need to have that basis of trust. Mm-hmm. I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. We're going to work this out.
Okay. Now, so I want to just delve, for the time we have remaining, into these ideas. So let's start with intimacy. So intimacy, how is that concrete? Let's concretize what that means. Does intimacy and into me see mean what? Does it mean I will let you see who I am? These are my values. Or,
you know, my husband and I had a Shabbat together. Our kids were all out of the house, and I was so excited about it. And one of my younger single friends, said, "What are you so excited about? I mean, you've been married for 28 years. I mean, like, seriously, what is there already to get to know? You already know everything about each other." And I said, "No, it's not true. I mean, come on. At every age, do we really know ourselves? There's always more to find out about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So all the more so about our spouse."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I oftentimes spend, you know, I spend sessions with couples around the world. I do a lot of Skype sessions, and people will say to me, you know, we just feel like we've drifted apart. It's like a tag team. And my husband comes home, I run out. He comes home, I run out. And it's this constant running. And I will sit down with them and have these discussions, these emotional intimacy discussions, you know, I'll have them, you know, facing each other and do these sessions and give them deep questions to ask them each other. Beautiful. And beautiful. Like, you know, what's your greatest fear? Or, you know, what is one thing you're happy never to have to do again? You know, things nice. Like this, you yeah. know, what is, you know, your favorite memory of us together?
Oh, wow.
You know, oh, that's these nice. Are questions, and they'll have them go for a whole hour or sometimes 90 minutes of these kind of questions going deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And these are couples who are fine. They're not in crisis because they get along, they fight, they just drifted apart. But if you don't put yourself back together, then that really could destroy a marriage.
Okay, thank you. That's very clarifying. And let's talk about another reward of marriage.
Okay. You know, I think another reward of marriage is you, mm-hmm. is that we grow so much in marriage. Actually, how do you say marriage in Hebrew?
You say, well, lichaten, no?
Nisuin. Oh, yeah. Nisuin. Right. Right. Also, lichaten, yes. Okay. But Nisuin is the noun for marriage, and that comes from the root nasa, to lift up, to grow. The secret wow. in marriage, and this is so beautiful because we see it in the Lashon HaKodesh, is it's all about growth. When we have the growth perspective, then marriage is amazing. It's wonderful. When we don't have the growth perspective, then we get stuck in, why aren't you making me happy? Right? The growth perspective is that in marriage, each one of us can become the greatest possible person, really our greatest potential, because of the marriage. Because in marriage, we challenge each other, we support each other. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing, amazing journey if we understand mm-hmm. it correctly.
I'm wondering, in the minute remaining, if you can tell me of an example you saw this kind of a breakthrough in one of the couples that you've counseled, where they saw.
Yeah, I have so many examples. We should once do a whole show about this.
Okay.
But for example, you know, there was a guy who was really, really impetuous, impulsive, and he was just making a mess out of his life. And by virtue of being married to his wife, who was just really serene and really balanced, he was able to see she was his mirror. Mm-hmm. As to really what he was doing to himself and what he was doing to them, mm-hmm. and also what he could be. And she taught him serenity.
Because of who she was.
Just because of who wow. she was. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to calm down. He was trying all these different ways and exercises to calm down. But, you know, it was really only by being together with her mm-hmm. and by being challenged, you know, because he was really making a mess out of things. Not that mm-hmm. she hit him over the head or anything, just by being an example, a role model of what centeredness and groundedness was.
Very nice. Beautiful. Wow. It's so nice to talk with you again about this topic, and I appreciate these new, fresh insights that we can really utilize in our own lives. Thanks, Chana Levitan.
It's my pleasure.
There's more to come on The Modern Jewish Home. Stay with us. More in a moment.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
New shows are posted every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, highlighting the lighter side and advancing a positive view of Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome Welcome back to the Modern Jewish Home Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Heather Dean, and I'm joined by Ahuva Stam today. Now that summer's officially here, Ahuva is back on the show and has dropped by today to add to our excitement about all of the yummy fruits which are appearing at the local green grocer, supermarket, or your nearest open-air market. We're going to find out today just how versatile summer fruits can be beyond picking from a tree and munching away. Ahuva runs a catering company based in Jerusalem, Israel, called Wish It Dish It Gourmet Kosher Catering, and she offers delicious food, everything from budgetary to dietary restrictions, including allergies to specific foods. You can go to my host page at the Israel News Talk Radio website to click on the link to Ahuva Stam's website and check out just about all of the recipes we're talking about today. Welcome back, Ahuva Stam, to the Modern Jewish Home Show.
Good to be back.
All right, summery fruits. In general, what would you like to say about summer fruits and how versatile they can be?
The versatility is just beyond words. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can use fruit, which in and of itself is generally a sweet thing, in more savory or more sweet ways. Mm-hmm. You know, just like a sweet potato can be used in a sweet or salty way. Same with fruits. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about the salted caramel cheesecake, and you know that I love sweet and salty together.
Right.
So you can go in any direction with these things, which is why one of the things we're going to talk about is the salads, where we have a little salt in this dressing, but then you add the fruit.
Right. And what do you think of dried fruits? What is a gourmet kosher? Gourmet chef, think about dried fruits.
They are a godsend when you live in a country that doesn't have blueberries.
Ah, got it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can get blueberries here once in a very blue moon for about 5 times the price. Everyone else buys them in Costco. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we have the Bodeg frozen and the Kirkland dried. Both of, you know, those are really pretty much what you can get a hold of here. Okay. The problem with the frozen is that they bleed. You know, they just turn everything purple. So I find that if you leave them in a colander and you rinse them and let them dry a little bit, it dries, it drips out, and they actually plump back up, and people don't realize that they're frozen, that you're eating frozen blueberries later. I mean, if you're using them in a pie, like I know you like to do, it's not going to be as much of an issue. But if you want to put them in a muffin, you want that juiciness, just leave it out while you do everything else.
Right,
and very gently fold them in at the end.
Right, it doesn't look so pretty when they bleed.
Better in muffins is the dry ones because they don't bleed. I mean, they have a little sugar in them, but they also open up inside in the heat of the oven, and it's soft and moist.
So, all right, so we talked about dried fruits. What recipe would you like to start with that's great for summer?
I mean, cobblers. Everyone always talks about, like I said, pies. We were talking, you mentioned you like blueberry pie, but cobblers making a pie involves making the crust and rolling it out and cutting it down and doing your lattice work. Cobblers. The southern people got it right, and they make cobblers, which pretty much you lay down the fruit and you mix the batter, you crumble it over the top, and bake it. I mean, yes, the recipe that specifically we spoke about, the peach, you can use canned, you know, in the winter too, if you don't get the fresh peaches. But when you have the fresh peaches, you slice them, you let them sit for about 10 minutes in the oven with your cinnamon and all your spices. And then, in the meantime, mix your batter, plop it down, literally globs, and it's going to rise up and down. Some cobblers, you put it down first. Sometimes you put the fruit first. It really depends. The strawberry cobbler, I do kind of half-half. I put strawberries down on the bottom when they're in season. But cobblers are just great.
Yeah.
Because you just have to figure out the right balance of the sweetness in the topping to the fruit.
Right.
It's just throwing it all in a pan.
Right.
So you don't have to deal with rolling it all out and whatever. And it just focuses on the fruit. And as much sugar and cinnamon or whatever it is that you want.
And it tastes just fine cold. Like
It's yummy. It's gummy cold. It's great a la mode. With ice cream, and a scoop of ice cream on a cobbler is just, it's just heaven.
Right.
Even if you slightly warm the cobbler, because it's firm, you can warm it on Shabbat. You can put that on top of your platter, your urn for like 5 seconds, and serve it with a scoop of nice coconut sorbet or ice cream if you're parv. And it just melts together, and it's just that summer.
Great. Right. That's summer. Summer on a plate. Okay. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I know you want to talk about next was lemon bars.
Yes.
You specifically said if we're talking about fruit, you wanted lemon bars. Now, the problem I had over the years with lemon bars was that was such a pachka. You have to make the custard and you separate the eggs. And I finally figured out a way to do it, eliminating the extra two bowls. Where it's only two bowls instead of four. You make your crust, flour, margarine, or coconut oil if you want to be healthier, and or softened butter if you want to be chalavi and sugar. Mix that together, press it in, and then just whisk up the lemon and the lemon zest. You have to have that zest because lemon juice just isn't enough, but you don't have to do the yolk separately here. Mm-hmm. It's just the yolk, a little bit of flour for thickener. Mm-hmm. If you're gluten-free, you can use corn flour or corn starch. Baking powder, mm-hmm. mix that all up, and you're going to bake it in each, like you're going to start baking it, then you're going to add them filling, bake it again, take it out, sprinkle confectionery sugar, mm-hmm. let it cool, cut mm-hmm. it into whatever size you want, and then again, add the confectionery sugar. And a little trick that I use is I have a little hand sifter
yes.
that I just kind of sift so that you can get a thin, even coating of snow and not a heavy one.
Right.
Because when
right.
you sprinkle from the bag, you have crumbs, and then you have that one bite that's too sweet. And you could even do designs by just putting little cutouts over it.
Oh, that's true. You can, like a doily, set down your doily and then do your trick.
Or cookie cutters, anything.
Ooh, nice. Yes. Okay, good. I'll have to remember that one. Okay, so what is next?
Next is again with the lemon and the lime.
Okay.
Is a problem sometimes here in Israel is that we have limes for about 2 weeks of the year. So some people, I have never been fast enough myself, actually buy limes, juice them, and freeze it. Mm-hmm. But I was able to find a few bottles of lime juice, which I am now out of, which I took advantage of over Shavuos, and I made an avocado lime cheesecake because avocados now are gorgeous
here.
They
really are.
They're huge. They have the hard shells. They're not the annoying ones to peel.
Right.
The peels just come right off, and they ripen in the paper bag overnight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, usually it takes like a week at the end of the season, but mm-hmm. right now by morning, if it's up in the paper bag, it's great. Mm-hmm. So in the avocado lime cheesecake, it's the kind of the Mexican version of a key lime pie. Okay. And here in Israel, you can use lemon. Those of us that know the difference, not everybody can even tell the differences. They're very subtle between lemon mm-hmm. and lime. So mm-hmm. they are interchangeable when need be.
Good.
But if you can get your hand on those little bottled lime juices, of course it helps.
Okay.
And it's really easy. This is one of those times you can buy the graham cracker crust. You can make it if you want, mm-hmm. but you know you buy it. The only problem is this cheesecake should be done with a ice cream maker. I personally don't have one. I just don't have room for it. So what you can do is you get a flatter container, and you have to do the turning yourself. Meaning every 20 minutes, half an hour, scrape the sides and fold it in, because that's what you'll see. When you take it out, you'll see the sides already setting, and the middle is still all mushy.
Okay, so how do you mix it with a hand mixer? And
I just use it with a fork.
Oh,
and I put
good.
It on the top of the freezer, so the top of the container is actually like on the top of the freezer on that ice cold spot.
Right.
And then once it's set, that's when you put it in the crust.
Okay.
And I even have a little in the freezer, which is how I was able to bring you some.
Yay. Well, that's so nice. I can't wait to taste it. Okay. So what else? You were talking about the versatility. So it's not all about desserts and fruit and snacks. You have another idea.
Well, fruit and salad is always great. Mm-hmm. I mean, any time of the year, whatever fruit, if you're not allergic to it, was fun. Mm-hmm. And there's also many different types of leaves. You know, you have your iceberg and romaine, your baby, your arugula. You know, everybody's got their preference. Spinach. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the classic Asian salad, spinach with mandarin oranges
right.
with the rice vinegar base. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorites is a balsamic vinaigrette on baby leaves. Mm-hmm. I like that little bite. And plus, kids like that. They're colorful.
Yes.
And this time of year, you have peaches and nectarines. And then as it gets later, you have plums. And the balsamic vinaigrette, I have added a few secret things of my own over the years. That, of course, you have your olive oil and balsamic. But I use some pomegranate syrup, which it has its own tang to it. It's a little tart. And, I mean, I mentioned before, the jarred garlic you get in the fridge, the Perig chopped garlic or whatever brand you can get in your supermarket, or if you get the cubes.
Yeah.
But just, if you use fresh garlic, of course you can, but make it a day in advance because it needs to set.
Ah, okay.
But so. I use about a tablespoon. I mean, adjust it to taste, but also when you're making any kind of dressing, you know, the trick is whisk it really well so it emulsifies, so it gets thicker.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
you could then, once it's in the jar, right before you use it, I would always make it in advance. Before you use it again, shake up the container really well so you get those bubbles and it thickens.
Right. Okay, good. And it's worth noting that when you say pomegranate syrup, it's not substituting for anything. This is your secret of...
This is my...
It's part of it.
It's olive oil, balsamic vinegar, pomegranate syrup, and garlic and salt and pepper.
Okay.
And then there's one other ingredient you can add. You mm-hmm. can also add Dijon mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I do that, I actually like to do it more when it's a protein-based salad. like adding grilled chicken breast.
Right.
And I also use the dressing as the marinade. Now, of course, the chicken that sits in the marinade, you have to get rid of that that part of the dressing once it's had raw chicken in it.
Right.
But you can let it, you know, like pierce the chicken all over with the fork, lightly grill it if you have a grill pan, or, you know, roast it in the oven, and then slice it really thin and sprinkle it over your salad. And you could also do it with seared tuna steaks. It's delicious. That doesn't need the Dijon, though. That's more of a pepper. I would add more crushed pepper in that case. But with the chicken, with the Dijon mustard, just gives it a whole completeness to it. Sweet, salty, savory. And it's it could be your main course in the summer.
Okay. So when we're talking Dijon, though, do you need to get a top brand? Or because it's part of a larger recipe, it's not the condiment itself. Can you get even... Dijon's not run of the mill, but just does it have to be a boutique brand?
These days, Dijon is more popular than you think. Yellow. I mean, I think it's more common here to get a good Dijon than it is a good yellow mustard, especially in Oshirad when you can get that French one for 20 shekel, that huge jar.
Okay.
But there are so many brands. I mean, I, of course, grew up with the Grey Poupon. Right. Of course, Grey Poupon. I actually used to bring it back. But nowadays, it's actually just look behind the other mustards and it's there. Good. But you could use whole grain if you need to. But I haven't had a problem finding Dijon anywhere anymore.
Awesome.
Over the last couple of years, it's amazing what they're bringing in, especially Oshirad.
Great. Okay, Oshirad in Israel, and hopefully soon too outside of Israel.
Well, there's Bingo in Brooklyn now, which is, I believe, a sister store.
Great. So we are ready for our adding fruits to our summer recipes. Thanks so much, Ahuva Stam, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And that'll do it for us today on the Modern Jewish Home Show. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for more Straight Talk from Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.